Thank you, everybody. Welcome to the council meeting for the 13th of October. First of all, we'd like to deal with any apologies, please, Mr. Secretary.
Yeah, I have only complained, Harry, so.
I do have apologies from Pete McCauley and Janet, as well as David Harris.
As David Harris, that's, minutes have got those three. Oh, we haven't got Susie. Okay, Nick, you can make sure Susie captures those, please. Declaration of councillor interests. The councillor interests were distributed in the papers pack that went round. I propose to go round this paper and invite everybody simply to acknowledge that those are accurate, or that they have, if they are not accurate, that they have already identified this to Nick by email. And if that's not the case, then please say anything else that needs to be said. My own interests are now up to date with Nick Wallingford. David.
I have a new interest. People may have noted my laptop requires an external keyboard. Intel have kindly donating me a new laptop, so that should be noted as an interest. I think that comes from my blogging activities rather than the internet, but I still want to know that in case we ever have issues with Intel. It's going to be a quad chip.
Yes.
You will do that by email to you, Nick.
I want the wording because I don't want to have to make up the wording.
Yep. Okay. David, it's up to you to notify Nick, please. Chris?
No change.
Michael? Simon?
No change.
Mark?
No change.
Can I just ask some advice from council? Through my work with FX, we do work for other organisations, mainly the State Services Commission. Is that an issue? Is that a conflict? I'm not sure.
It's not a conflict. Well, that's probably an interest that you should note on the register. And if it should arise, that conflict arises during the course of discussion, then you should declare a conflict.
Right, so I'll just note that FX Networks does have a relationship with the State Services Commission and just leave it at that.
Okay, can you provide the wording to Nick as well?
Yes. Johnny?
Yeah,
same. Yes. Just for Council's information, I've also supplied Nick with a statement to go into my interest declaration that states that I also have a commercial relationship with State Services Commission, which is unrelated to areas of business of the society.
So I've just remembered an additional one. It's very minor, but it's actually quite important. Woodley and Company, the lawyers we use for our public policy work, had asked me to a very minor amount to help them with their online comms a week, and basically setting up a law and technology blog for them. It's a few hours' work, but because I help authorise their expenditure here, it's important to note
okay.
That.
Thank you, David. Noted.
So action point, David, Jamie, Johnny, to provide information on interests.
Right, thank everybody very much. The next item is the consideration of the agenda, specifically looking for in-committee items. The NetSafe proposal, which everybody will have read in this stack, is to be done in committee. Any other items on the agenda? Do people need to have those done in committee? Right. No, nothing else, thank you. Following that, we have the consent agenda item. There is the President's report, which has no recommendations. There is the Treasurer's report, which have no recommendations. There is the Executive Director's stack of reports, which is this one, that was sent out to your homes or places of work a couple of weeks ago. That's the one we're talking about, not the one in the stack. And this does actually contain a recommendation, Keith.
It actually contains two recommendations, but one's to adopt the report, so that will come with
yes.
The overarching recommendation. But also, just a point of note, on the page that says scoping the certification authority for anyone who's really interested, it says a meeting arrangement with MED, it should read MSD, just for the sake of clarity.
Yes, Chris.
I just have a couple of issues with that report. You asked me to bring this up in council. One is that you have the wrong sponsor down for the ICOP, it is me, not David Farrow. And the second point I'd like to raise is that you start off by talking about sponsors and then you move into project managers for the same title of the same person, and I think it should all be sponsors when it concerns councillors, please.
Okay. I'm sure Keith will note those points. There is a recommendation. Sorry, Keith?
Yeah, that'd be.
You okay? Yep. There is a recommendation attached to Keith's report other than the anodyne one that his report be received.
matters that the agreed delay of future joint TCF ANZ EMAM meetings be noted. So it's just
noting that.
Yep. That's,
okay. Now, I'm going to just put that package as a consent agenda item, please. Frank?
Well, I just raise a question of interest in the listing gate thrush trust.
Yes.
Where that's up to, if anything's developed around that, and what the immediate plans are.
Okay, well, the status is noted in that report. We're still receiving contributions. It's on my report, page 2. We're continuing to receive contributions. My belief is that we'll potentially have some interest at the ICANN meeting in Brazil, and it's probably after the Brazil meeting that we need to start talking to Peter about what we want to do to establish.
I should actually declare a small personal interest in this, is that when, you know, there's an application going in for to be a charitable trust, tax donation purposes, that sort of thing, and those sort of issues probably are of some interest to a number of people.
Indeed, but yeah, no, not even at that stage. And whether Internet NZ will actually play an active role or just facilitate the formation of a group of people who will be the trust is yet to be established, and nothing will happen without reference to council. But there's no rush for it to happen either. So at the moment, it's just money being collected.
There is an issue around donations for tax purposes.
When
they're
committed to,
is that
the...
I'm not sure.
This is people who've made donations and would quite a tax rebate on the donations.
Well, yes.
So there is an urgency.
There is an urgency about that.
Right, point noted, thank you. Now I'd like I will propose that we will put all these, whether we will use a consent agenda item to take all these items. I propose that the minutes be accepted as a true correct record, and the following reports be received, and that Keith's recommendation about noting the delay to the TCF ENUM process be noted.
Oh, sorry, on
yes?
The minutes.
Yep.
There is a correction.
There is a correction.
Yes.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
You didn't call for...
No, you're right, I didn't.
So, on page 8, of the papers, page 6 of the minutes. Paragraph from the bottom, Councillor Riley asked in respect of the main name is dispute. I don't think it was a dispute, it was a 2LE application.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
And Jamie?
Possible correction on page 5 of the minutes. Just want to check that we've got consistency here. Under membership, we put change Internet NZ Vice President, Chair of the Committee, to David Farrar, and then we pretty much had the same sort of agreement for the Technical Policy Committee, but we removed the Internet NZ Treasurer, Chair of this committee. What replaced what we removed? Yeah.
We named Michael to do it rather than...
So therefore it should be in the minutes.
It should be in the minutes, yes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, have we got that? Everybody agrees with that correction? Any further corrections?
Well, please ask in future that the minutes are distributed, you know, shortly after the meetings. Can the corrections be circulated on the list so people can consider them before the meeting?
It'd certainly be handy because it saves us going through them at this meeting.
Yep.
Just one point about your motion.
Yes.
It's not because there's been no work on it. Because there's been so much work on it, I haven't had time to do it before.
My motion, I don't think, included anything to the Vice President.
Yes, it does.
Can I
just
the annotated
agenda?
Yep.
The cover page agenda has the the previous iteration.
I'm sorry, I was reading the one that was added because I forget it was super. Overriding the previous one, and that would be.
Well, we're actually going with. We're going with the motion I spoke a few moments ago, which I will repeat if you would like me to, but it is as written out in the Amateur Agenda, with the addition of the Keith's motion made explicit. Keith's recommendation. Chris has seconded it. All those in favour?
Aye.
Abstentions? Against? Carried. Thank you very much. Matters arising from minutes, outstanding action points in the previous meeting. Is there a table of these? Thank you. Action one is in hand. Action two, treasurer. That's been audit and risk committee tour.
Done.
Thank you. ED. Well, we'll get to that presently. But remind me if I look like I'm going to forget.
Well, no, just because it needs to mention, we'll note that.
Yeah. ED on the target teams here?
That's in my signature papers that we'll talk to.
Thank you. Number four is also in the papers, and number five is, yes, that's in hand, as everybody has seen today. Simon.
Just as a presentation issue, in previous minutes, we used to have the action points on its own page in a table with action point, who was responsible, was it done? So we could go down the list and we could see done, 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 or not done. And it was very easy to kind of it's a presentation issue. It would be nice to revert back to how we used to have that.
Okay. You signaling, Mark?
Yes. Point 12 in the previous minutes, it's a second paragraph on page 8. I asked the President to look at the policy of having no laptops and the design of future meeting and set this meeting. I'd also like to draft a resolution about use of laptops, please. I'd like to resolve that issue.
Well, if you wish to bring that up as a matter for vote, I will consider that.
I actually brought it up at the last meeting, Colin.
I know you did.
Decided not to have a vote on it. You said you'd come back and advise the committee.
Yes, well, I haven't changed my view that I think councillors using laptops during the meeting is a bad thing. If council wishes to overrule me on that, that is within council's right, of course.
Well, I proposed in that we rescind that particular decision because it doesn't.
Well, I'm ruling that out of order, but I will give you an opportunity to put that later.
Can I just say that this is an agenda, this is an item that needs discussion. Unless there's time on another business, it should be raised as a proper agenda. I agree that we did get your, you want it. It is an action point. Can this just be included as an action point for next council meeting? As an agenda item, sorry.
Would that suit you, Mark?
Well, I just want the fucking thing resolved, Colin. To be perfectly honest, I think you've been bloody-minded about it, and you.
That's not my question, Mark. Could you answer? Would Simon?
I would like a decision made at this meeting.
All right. Well, in that case, you can go on the agenda under any other business.
Thank you, General.
Thank you. Right. Where were we?
Matters arising. We've dealt with those. We're moving on to the NZRS report.
Oh, so Chris, we have one thing left. It was ratification of e-votes.
Ratification of e-votes, yes. And we have one e-vote, which concerned the audit and risk committee and the terms of reference, which was passed. Now, I don't have the wording of that with me. Does Keith will have the wording?
We don't need to re-pass the motion, I think
we need to note that we ratified the... Yeah,
but the purpose for having it in there is so that the wording goes into the minutes,
yes.
Okay. And can I personally thank the ED for the small change in wording that enabled me to focus in on when the vote is required.
Yes.
Audit and risk was e-vote 06-09-11.
was also an e-vote on the cyber safety toolkit, which was e-vote process 0922. $7,000 worth of expenditure. So the two e-votes conducted since the last meeting are ratified. Is probably the motion.
Yes. You're putting that motion, Chris? You're proposing the motion. I got a seconder. Michael, thank you. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Thank you.
And Susie, I'll forward you the wording of those e-votes.
Now we have the NZIS report, and I wonder if that left was Carol O'Reilly.
Yeah, it is.
How? Welcome.
Yes, we are ready for you right now.
Yeah, it's weird. I can't see anybody on the side of the table at all. I can't glare at Johnny, and I can only glare at Mark. And I want to know who's on the table up this way.
Procedure,
would
you
just
point of evidence? I'm having trouble hearing. I'm having trouble hearing people alongside this side of the table, whereas I wasn't having any trouble when it was in a U-shape.
Yeah, no, I think the problem, while we're still designing or redesigning this room, is that sunshine plays an awful part if you have it in its traditional form coming to this time of year. So this was an attempt, and given that we're probably going to do a lot of on the wall stuff, we need to do it. So I appreciate it's not to be as
I'd like to note that our peers at our minute taker is having trouble hearing.
Right. If the minute taker is having trouble hearing, then we've got a problem.
Yep.
No, the minutes will be shorter.
Well, I think it's a question of one person speaking at once.
Well, you know that's not going to happen. So, you know, that's the problem.
Yes.
Well, that kind of doesn't matter which layout you use.
Thank you. Let's continue with the order of the day. Carol and Nick have come from NZIS. There was a paper in the status papers here, which you will have all read. Just before Carol starts, I just want to make a couple of observations here. The Society has for some time expressed a desire to find alternative sources of revenue. And what we are seeing here is a... what we're seeing here from NZIS is NZIS effectively exploring opportunities to do this. NZOS, in my view, is to be congratulated for what has been done so far. What I believe this council's job is to look at this and, apart from thanking NZOS for its efforts, to consider whether there's any matters of risk that it might otherwise be involved, that might be involved over and above anything that the company has identified. And if that's not the case, then to pat it on the back, as it were, and invite it to continue. Anyway, that's my comment, and I'm going to hand over to David.
Can I just note we are in public session, as normally the case, and please advise us if there's any point you want to go into private session. Bearing in mind this is a competitive thing.
That's a good point. Thank you, David. The floor is yours, Carol.
Okay, thank you, and hi, everyone. Haven't been here for a while, but I'm standing in for Anne, who's often the absolute wop-wops in behind Adelaide somewhere, so may never be seen again. We're a bit worried about it, but for family weddings. So there is no quarterly report from us today. So the two things that we thought we might mention was just to touch on the effect of the TBSR review. Now, several of you had a briefing on that this morning, so you're pretty up to date on that. But I just want to note that. And then the second issue being our bid to the SSC for the object registry. Everyone's had this letter here, have they?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you've had the letter. We've had a lot of help from a lot of people, both NZOC and among yourselves, to get this up. It's been a huge effort, but we've got to the point where we've shipped it in on a Monday with your explicit support for that. We've had on our business plan for 2 to if not 3 years, that when we got to the stage where we felt we had a business as usual, but I do put quotes around it because it's never as usual, business as usual under control, that we would like to explore the scope for building related businesses. And the emphasis, as those of you know who've been around this council table for a while, the emphasis has always been on related. It's got to, anything we looked at in terms of new opportunities, the board has been quite clear that it had to use our core capabilities, and we articulate those in the plan, and it had to be something that we felt could be usefully explored, had the potential to make some money, maybe not straight away, but certainly over time, but would always be under control in terms of not interfering with our core business. So this, we've looked at fairly quick and dirty look at the Australian Registry as to whether we might make a bid there, but pulled away from that without too much work. Then this one emerged pretty fast, and it's been a fairly hectic run to get it to this point. So we'd certainly acknowledge all the help that Nick and his team have had. We don't know when we will hear. They got it on Monday. The Commission is saying they want to work fast, but isn't it just said that could be fast a couple of years or fast a couple of weeks? We have to wait and see. But there's only one other party that's bid. So in terms of their team sitting down having a look at it, you know, it's not like they're looking at six or seven of them. So we've got fingers crossed. Anything you want to add, Nick, before we open it up?
I suppose as far as Colin goes, it's worthwhile noting that Colin stepped out of any discussions we had with Internet NZ because his other hats is probably the only other point to note.
Yeah, thank you for observing that, Nick. As I have indicated in previous interest statements, I do have a commercial relationship with SSC and felt it appropriate to distance myself from this process. Michael Warmansberger has been the link to council for this.
Yep. So really open for comments or questions. Simon.
What, obviously, speaking for myself, you have the full support for pursuing this. I don't get a feeling for the scope of what this opportunity represents. I mean, I'm not asking in an exact dollar terms, but what's the scope here? What are we dealing with?
The scope is, it's actually...
I think if we're going to talk about dollars, we should probably go offline.
Yes.
Well, we're not talking about dollars.
Because it's actually, the scope is published in the GEDS, so that's what they're looking for is a pilot to run a registry and repository for metadata.
So it
for up to six agencies, including that's public information.
And the pilot will run for how long?
6 to 12 months.
It was actually an ideal first opportunity for NZRAs because if it doesn't work out, it's actually not a long-term commitment. And it can be just for the pilot. If it does work out, it's going to be very useful one under the belt.
The scope's perfect for what we can handle.
Okay.
So just to put it in context, does this replace the Metalog?
Sorry?
I'm looking actually at Colin rather than you now. Colin?
Mark, I don't know.
Okay. I'm just not 100% sure what metadata you're
collecting. I actually, Mark, I have to say I know nothing about this from the SSC end, and I don't want to.
I do know a little bit about the background about it. It's the aim is to have registered metadata types. So it's a sort of it's a way of structuring at a high level and registering metadata type, which then becomes international. So New Zealand's metadata structures fit within an international structure.
It's sort of a taxonomy.
It's a map.
Is this relevant, Mr. Chairman?
No, I'm just trying to, as I say, I was just trying to put it in context to what the SEC is doing and
it's formalising that government metadata structure and put it into an international standard context.
Is it linked to the XML stuff that was discussed for a while ago?
Going.
Yes. Thanks. If this is successful and goes ahead at some time with an initial implementation, we'll take what the business opportunities can be there.
Yes, I think particularly, obviously, if we do get it, then that might be really good
be
to do a quick workshop on that.
State Services is going to take it forward with you.
Pardon?
So if State Services do buy it, want to take it forward
yep.
with NZRS, that would be an appropriate time to
consider this. So really the key point to take away from this is it's something that is very close to the core competencies of NZRS and is a pilot with a possibility of greater things in the future.
Yep.
It's also groundbreaking internationally and extremely interesting in terms of where money is.
Just so Carol, would pass on our thanks to the NZRS board for the way you kept us closely in touch with what's going on.
Good.
And communication, we really appreciate that. That's what we're calling the council. Good. And also, you mentioned the session this morning on technical and business systems. I'd like to pass on, presumably speaking on behalf of the council, but for me, I've done that piece of work, reading the report, it's a very high quality piece of work. It shows some really careful and quite clever thinking. I think a really good appreciation of the issues that face in the area. So,
Well, no, we have worked pretty hard at keeping you guys informed, and that's a really good piece of work. We're very pleased with it so far.
I think the council's, should we say, only moderate level of apparent interest around the table reflects the fact that council feels that it has been kept informed well.
Yeah.
And I think Mark's comment shows that. I'd like to propose that Council note the NZRS proposal and thank them for the work done today. Do I have a seconder? Chris, thank you very much. I'll put the motion. All for? Against? Abstentions? Thank you very much, Carol. Thank you, Nick.
And we just note, of course, the 250,000 target. That's
fine. Oh, yes.
Very nice.
Who won this week's day?
But off the record, we had approval from the DNC.
Well, I'm sure we didn't hear that.
Okay.
Thank you very
much.
Comics,
we'll usually follow it,
doing
it the other way around.
Okay.
I'll just be here, so thanks for the opportunity.
Final. No problem, thank you very much. Next, we have the NZOC report. For that, we have two monthly reports, or just one?
We've just got the 1 month.
Just the 1 monthly report, and of course, the paper about formalising relationships. Okay. Frank.
Yeah, the monthly report is for August. The September report will be out. The reports come out, remind you, somewhere between the 20th and the 24th of the month following. So we would expect to see the September report next week or the following week. And just to note, I think that probably be quite useful for those to actually circulate the council rather than just appearing in this compendium of papers, and they aren't normally circulated, are they, when they come in?
They used to be.
Sorry?
They used to be circulated.
Well, not what? I can't quite hear things. So the reports, are they circulated to council members when they come out?
No, they're circulated in this compendium.
Yeah. It might be useful for them. Anyway, that's a matter I'll take up with Keith later.
No. They did used to be. It used to be that I sent them to NZ and they were circulated. So I'll just remind them that when they get it sent, to click on the council list.
Well, actually, what I believe has been a long-standing council request is that the NZOC report, the ED's report, and the monthly financials, unless it's within a week or so of a council meeting coming up, or have to go out in one package, around about the 20th of the month. And I'd really love to see that happening. Those three reports, Finance, NZOC and ED, become a monthly publication.
I don't think that's quite correct, David. I think the desire of council that has been expressed is to get the monthly accounts and the monthly report, ED's report, project reports from council, but I've never, up until this point, heard that you wanted distribution of the Oversight Committee reports, notwithstanding that it's not a problem to do.
Well, we used to get them.
I think my point of view,
they're why we asked the others, because we were getting them monthly. They were the catalyst to saying the others should do it.
I'll speak for myself and say I would really appreciate electronic circulation of university reports as soon as they are to be circulated, and then to be included in hard copy of the council papers.
Well, is there anybody who thinks that's a bad thing?
That's what we're saying, because that's
no. Well, in that case, perhaps we can just pass this over to as an action point for the ED to deal with it.
Yeah, no, I think the timeliness of the production of the Oversight Committee reports and ours are now in tandem, so it's not a
good thank you.
To distribute them both electronically and physically at the same time.
We can hand the floor back to Frank, who I think was...
Okay, there are a couple of points in there to note. I'll just draw your attention to the fact that the unpainted values in domain names is now well out of date. We have crossed the quarter of a million mark, and keep the women's sweeps back, for which we're all very pleased.
Well done, Frank.
I don't think there are any other issues of moment in there, but I'd be happy to pause at this point for any comments on that or this report.
Now, have you, have I detected that you've got more, you've changed your performance testing regime?
Yeah, there is more detailed performance testing in there, which now breaks it down to the individual servers. And do you want to talk about that?
Basically, it's NZOC is working with NZRS on DNS reporting. So what, I mean, I think it pretty much reflects where NZRS has got with their review. The SRS is working, now we're turning our attention to DNS and upping what we report on to the DNS services. And so we're working in conjunction with NZRS on what to report publicly in respect to DNS performance.
Okay. Thank you.
It's to some extent reflects the fact we've got Andy on. NZOC keeps poking sharp sticks in the next direction.
Is this requiring more work just for the benefit of Andy, or is this actually providing some?
No, I don't think it's certainly not for the benefit of Andy. It's very much in terms of it has the full support of NZOC for improved reporting regimes, and there's additional information coming out, as in fact is apparent from the matrix of metrics that they see at a glance how individual servers are operating. I don't think Nick's got any problem with that, do you?
None at all. I think Andy's just, asked us pertinent questions, and we go, okay. Well, some of them we go, hadn't thought about it from that side, so we go and just do some more.
Can I just confirm, though, a lot of this stuff was actually already been collected, but our basis is whatever is in the council report is public information that goes in the monthly newsletter as well. So a lot of the information was actually collected, but what we're getting to the stage is determining what we then make public. So what we put in the council report reflects what goes in the newsletter. And so as we change what we consider to be public information, you'll see it come through in the report to council.
And there is some evolution going on in that respect.
Thank you for that, Frank. I wonder if I could ask you to move on to the other item.
Yeah. At the council's request, we've prepared a paper for you about how the formalising relationships with the New Zealand Government and formalising relationships with ICANN. In the case of the New Zealand Government, we've actually proposed a set of terms of reference because that sort of puts the process a little bit more obviously forward, and I think that's something which council really needed to see as to how we proceed to proceed with it. Just note that, in fact, the two recommendations at the end of the substantive paper on formalising relationships with New Zealand government, the first recommendation really only applies to the first part, Part A, because unless that's agreed to, Part B doesn't proceed, actually. So just draw that to your attention. We're formalising the relationship with the New Zealand government. If we don't agree to that, there's no point in going ahead with the rest of it. And there is the point that this is not something that we want to step out of partway through. I mean, clearly, unless council's happy with the outcome of the discussions, we're not going to enter into a relationship, or at least a formalised relationship in that form. Council's going to have to be happy with the form of the relationship. But we do want formal approval to go through the process, because pulling out of it halfway through would probably not be a very good idea. So that's the reason for the wording in that recommendation. I don't propose to go through it in detail. I'm very happy to answer any questions people have about it and about the terms of reference. And I'll take also the comment about ICANN as read. I think that's traversing well-known ground, there's no point in going into that in detail either. But you might have some comments about the terms of reference for the group that I'm proposing for the to open negotiations with the New Zealand government. And I should say, just before I complete this, that nothing has gone forward within the New Zealand government side at the moment either. That's also somewhat from the left of gods, although there is an approval in principle for the lead agency for the Shipping State Services Commission.
I'm curious about that. Why is there approval in principle? Because this is not
to do with
the state
sector. No, but the group within that's considering this is the government Internet Security Review Group, which is chaired by State Services Commission. And that's the group that raised the issue from the government side in the first place through the paper that Phil Toy put out for discussion, which Internet New Zealand, among others, commented on. And it has recommended with it to itself that State Services would be the appropriate lead agency, and it's that committee that's basically agreed in principle. At this stage, no papers have gone to ministers, no process within government has been agreed to, and until I pull finger out and do a similar exercise on that side of the fence, nothing's going to happen. But at the moment, that's basically the agreement in principle, that will be suggested to ministers that State Services would be the appropriate lead agency.
It's interesting because I read this at the same time as I read the NZRS project report, which referred to the DNS, etc., as critical infrastructure. Therefore, one would say if that's within the CCIB or as part of GCSB rather than State Services. And I'm also well aware from personal experience that no one can quite screw up a project like State Services can, except maybe the police. So I just have some concerns there about that it isn't reasonably, not unhappy that it is an MED that's being proposed with due respect, but I wonder whether State Services is the right place for it and whether it went with the wrong context on the final result.
This
paper
just refers to the Internet
and
Z side.
Yeah, we can't choose how government, which part of government wants to engage with us on this.
No, but we can actually make it as part of our negotiation points. As
well, I don't think so.
As a factor on whether we want to negotiate, who we might be negotiating with, is certainly quite a big factor, I would say.
Okay. Michael?
Mr. Chair, I would ask that the interests of councillors here who have been employed by the government, those individuals take specific care at this particular moment. I have some very great concerns about the whole process. We have a large number of councillors who are employed in one state or another in the past 6 months by government for their face time. And I just want this particular issue to take specific cognizance of the interests that particular councillors have, both those that are here and not here. And I want that recorded on the minutes. And I want all of those who feel that they should recuse themselves from this process to do so, straight away, basically.
Well, on that, Michael, I haven't been employed by the government in the last 6 months. And secondly, even if I was still employed by the government, I would not recuse myself because I'm not here as a government employee. Or I wouldn't be here as a government employee, I'd just be here as a private citizen with an interest in the internet, but also with knowledge of how government works. So while I appreciate your concerns,
this is my concern to the chair.
Yes.
Things that I really hold this and I'm not going to change my view.
Yes. I hear what you're saying, Michael. I just observe that there's only one person around this table that I'm aware of who is employed. Around this table, who is employed by the government. I think there are quite a number of us who have had commercial relationships of one kind or another with various parts of the government at one time or another. I do hold that this is actually quite a separate thing to being employed by the government. And I think that in Wellington it's actually difficult to get away from people who have some kind of relationship with government at one time or another on some form of commercial or employment basis. So we do have to bear that in mind as well. David?
If that issue, I think, is resolved, could I firstly thank NZOC for the paper, and especially if I've been keen for council to have this debate, looking at the pros and cons, and I think it's done a good job in summarising them. This is one of the rare issues where I'm actually still undecided. I have some serious concerns, but I am open to persuasion on them. What my three major concerns are about, this is what the government, not with Arlene, I think that's far less problematic for us. The three concerns I have about a more formal relationship with government. The first is, if you look at what's more likely to lead to government interference in how we manage the CCTLD. A memorandum of understanding of some sort with them, where they use that to push and get input, or them actually getting 61 votes in the House of Representatives to pass a special law to place us under control. Can I say, I think the first option is 100-fold more likely, and can I specifically point, now we're not necessarily talking an MOU, but look at the ICAN MOU with the US Department of Commerce. That's meant to just be not about policy, it's just to make sure they operate in an open and transparent manner in the wider interests of the community. What did the US Department of Commerce do? They've just stuck a clause in saying, don't you dare touch your OAS policy. Law enforcement views this as very important. Mm-hmm. And they've just dictated policy effectively. They've done it in a way where you could say it's not quite a dictation, but and it actually goes directly against the GNSO recommendation, which was the purpose of who is there. Now you can think, I certainly think New Zealand government's better than US government, but I'm generally cynical of all governments, and I can see future governments would use a formal one to get more and more inputs. It's never going to go backwards, it's only going to improve. Second concern, if we get a formal agreement and at some stage we can't agree on forward and we dissolve the formal agreement, where does that leave us? Us to sleep in a worse place than never having had the formal agreement. The third concern is how it affects the other side of implementing the CLD. We've become very successful and involved in lobbying on a number of issues. Now, we're actually very lucky. We have a government where we're highly aligned with their direction. Let me point towards a future where, let's say, David Farah is the Minister of Telecommunications, and Jordan is the head of the Ministry of Economic Development, and we've decided to...
George is more stupid.
I am.
And we're getting annoyed that Internet NZ is still railing on about the fact that Vodafone's got a monopoly in the mobile market and wants us to take action. Where the hell do we shut these people up? Mm. They get all their money from the mainland. Mm. If we push for the MOU to include that the Commerce Commission sets price limits, you know, so they can't take too much in dividends to fund it. Basically what I'm saying is we're actually giving the government, future governments, a way to make us less effective. It won't be necessarily as directors, don't attack us or we'll cut off, you know, we'll do you an MOU. But psychologically, if you've got an MOU, a formal agreement on one side, it does affect how vigorous you will be in advocating. So they're my concerns. They're not insurmountable, but I want to be persuaded that what we're getting in return will be better. I suppose also that the final question is, while I know there's some government departments at the official level, like the Reserve Bank, the police, who keep complaining that we don't yank domain names the moment they tell us to, you know, that's still what the world they would like, and then they're the ones putting some of the pressure on, and thus I know is designed to help us with that unknown as well as teaching. At the actual parliamentary level, at the ministerial level, has there been any sign from ministers that this would be in their top 150 items for legislative intent? Or is it really well below the radar? So I'll leave that for now. I hope this is a debate everyone will have a view on.
Okay.
Can I just comment on that? Because I think David's points are well made. Mm-hmm. They are legitimate concerns. And they are the concerns.
And there's a sort of counter to each one of those in turn as well, and I'm not going to go into detail on those because, you know, you can all make them up in your own minds, and I'm sure David could argue just as eloquently the other way if you wanted to. I mean, they're legitimate issues, they really are. But the concern I guess I have is the one that David was tending to dismiss a little lightly, which is the question of the Reserve Bank and the police. Now, actually, the police haven't put their heads above the parapet on this. They're pretty realistic about things, but the Reserve Bank sure as hell is not. I think that there is a weakness around this where if there was an agreement we could point to which said that these policies, not so much the policies themselves, which of course would be subject to change and which we would absolutely want to keep within the ambit of Internet New Zealand, but these policies, the policy process is a very acceptable one to government. If we had that recognition, then it would be a very, very strong ammunition in our locker, frankly. And that's the problem with the Reserve Bank at the moment. Because, put to them, have you read the way that we develop our policy and consult on our policy and who we consult with and how often we do that? And of course they haven't. And that's reflected through in the submissions that have come in, which I guess you folk haven't yet seen, but which we've got to put out in some public forum soon, over some of the comments on the registration and transfer policies that are currently, well, was out for consultation up until the middle of September, whatever it was. Basically, both submissions, one from State Services and one from Reserve Bank, revealed bottomless ignorance of the way we set our policies. So having some acknowledgement of our formal process would actually be quite useful. So, you know, there are arguments to be made both ways. That's all I'm really saying here. And at the moment, we're unprotected in that sense. And that, I think, is an issue for looking at the security of New Zealand internet and the legitimate concerns that governments of the future will have that the structure of the internet is sound and properly managed. And that is a proper concern on behalf of the people of New Zealand. One other comment about the point about the 61 majority. We've all looked at the Australian policies and how nutty some of those are. I'm talking about the government policies, not ALDA. We may well have some concerns about ALDA policies as well. But a lot of those Australian government policies are precisely because of one renegade senator having a particular viewpoint and his vote being necessary for to maintain a government majority in the Senate, for example. That situation could easily arise in New Zealand under any
rule. I did try and get Steve Irwin to feed him for a crocodile before he went for it. I'd echo those points there. That were, all the fears that Dave expressed are actually quite feasible whether we have a memorandum of understanding or not. And by not having a memorandum of understanding, we have no solid ground to walk or something, an agreement of some description. We have no solid ground to stand on. Actually, I personally think an MOU reflects the fact that the government has now come of a position where it wants to do something. Unfortunately, the invincible ignorance factor is huge, which is why I've always been opposed to government involvement in Internet NZ or Internet society as it was, preferring to leave it to those government officials like, at the time, Frank Collin and myself, who were on council, and essentially insulating the rest of government from the internet society by saying, trust us, we know what we're doing. Those days are gone. Frank's government, they're still in regular government employee.
No one listens to me.
Sorry? No one listens to you anyway. So, governments around the world are taking a bigger, stronger look at what the internet is, what it means to their economies, what it means to their power structures, everything else. To ignore that and say, let's hide behind geek neutrality is not going to work anymore. So we actually do need a basis of some description. My view is that by negotiating some sort of agreement, then we can at least limit the damage, if damage there be. And I'm not convinced there would be. We happen to have a reasonably friendly, to use that term, relationship with government at the moment, with various departments that we deal with, mainly MED, and that's not just because of Frank, but I think some of the other people there are quite useful as well. There is an awful lot, there are an awful lot of people out there who would just A, see the money running through the NZRS and think, oh gosh, this would be something that, that might be a useful revenue stream. Or B, this is something we should control. Don't know what it is, but we should control. So we need to be able to protect the internet against those people, and we're not going to do it by refusing to negotiate or by refusing to talk to the government.
Thank you, Mark. Michael.
Okay. I would really like to know what the government would get out of this. You know, I mean, like, I can see trouble for us and all sorts of issues in terms of the trust. What can we give the government that would help the government do what the government is supposed to do, not? And I would really need to understand that. Secondly, I don't want to see us turned into a quango by stealth, right? Where we're captured and we can't respond with agility or what have you anymore to issues that come along. Thirdly, I think we have to know that the perception of Internet New Zealand is changing in terms of issues of capture and relationships and what it's doing. And what we were perceived of a while ago, you know, we are not going to be perceived of tomorrow. If we sign up for big agreements with the government and what have you, the public's perception of us will continue to develop in a particular way. So I really want to know what the government is going to get out of this, besides what we might get out of it or anything like that. Why? What would they benefit from by having such a relationship with us?
Okay.
Do you want me to?
Well, yeah, somebody's got to talk.
I think, sorry. Frank, if you can talk to that, it will be helpful.
Yeah, okay. First of all, let's be quite clear about this. The government has not made any decisions in principle to proceed with this at all, right? And there are issues for government. One of the things I did in the early stage was communicate with the guy in the UK, for example, who's on the nominee advisory group, and I also wrote to the person, the Australian people, and I hadn't had a response from the Australians, but the guy from the UK is very interesting, Martin Boyle. Those of you know him know that he's a very, let's say, fine-grained thinker, some would say, in other words. And he was saying basically that there's nothing in it for the UK government. If they were to have an agreement like this, they would actually be giving up the right to take it back to themselves, conceivably. In other words, given too much protection to nominate for their current position. And he couldn't see that making its way past the minister in the UK government. It's an interesting perspective. It's not one that it sort of sharpened my resolve in the sense of saying, well, perhaps we would benefit a great deal from having an agreement with the New Zealand government. I think that the New Zealand government, the issue has come up through an open process of consultation over internet and infrastructure security issues. The question is, what protection is there for the people of New Zealand given the value of the internet to the New Zealand economy? And that's the question that any responsible government has to ask. And the answer is, well, there's a private sector outfit out there doing this job without any government oversight whatsoever other than the normal laws of New Zealand. Is that sufficient? And that's basically the current situation. Now, although this little committee has been discussing this issue, it has not gone any further than that little committee. And the next stage would surely be a discussion of the process within government for doing this. And secondly, which would involve the question of, is there a paper that goes up to ministers? Almost certainly it would have to. Is a cabinet paper necessary? Don't know. There's a whole lot of unanswered questions on the government side as well. But the key issue is, does it affect the key infrastructure in New Zealand, or a key infrastructure in New Zealand, which is of importance to the New Zealand government? And is an MOU an appropriate way of ensuring this process is being done properly? I mean, one issue, for example, would be, does this delegation, is this delegation secure in terms of the route? I mean, it's an open question for the New Zealand government. There's no agreement between Internet New Zealand and ICANN, which says that .nz is secure in the route, for example. That is surely an issue of some concern, or potentially of concern. It's certainly a question which could be of concern.
Like an unwritten constitution.
It is, and that's got advantages and disadvantages. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, you could imagine, for instance, just for the sake of an argument, I'll get to you in a second, Keith, just for the sake of an argument, here's a scenario for you. VeriSign sets up in New Zealand and lobbies ICANN hard that it should run the CCTLD. Just leave that. Keith?
I think there's a couple of aspects, just sort of stepping a step further back in terms of risk analysis and the whole sort of construct that perhaps could be teased out a little further. One is the basis of contract law, and in contract law, the dominant partner in the contract always has the ongoing right to change, whereas the submissive partner, which in the case of New Zealand government and us, would always be giving away more. So once a contract's signed, you can expect to give and keep giving. Is a basic tenet, I think, in life, not necessarily something that would happen here. But an MOU is a contract, you know, call it what you like, it's a contract. I think the other aspect that we should turn our minds to a little bit is the RSC 1591 and the issue of risk for the registrants of the .nz namespace, and the fact is that a number of them are not New Zealand domiciled, they're not within the confines or the reach of the New Zealand government, and this council has an obligation to ensure that those people's rights or those organisations' rights are protected also, and that may well be at complete odds with the government's desire to look after New Zealand and New Zealanders. We look after .nz and it's a different thing in some ways. So I just wonder if that's been explored or tested at all, and whether that is a subject of greater debate or whether something we could just get over and get on with.
Yeah, no, if you're asking me, my response to that would be that, to go back to the mission statement that we set ourselves, which is an open, performing, secure internet for New Zealand, and I think management of .nz falls within that ambit. So, and that's the aim of the New Zealand government. It's not exclusive of the rights of non-New Zealanders, but it, .nz is perceived publicly as being an issue for New Zealand. Mm. And that's inescapable. That is the public perception, you know. The government has a responsibility to recognise that.
Yeah, it's more a case of the issue where the rights of all registrants that we currently maintain.
Yeah, well, maintaining the rights of New Zealand registrants was not necessarily, in fact, at the moment, clearly is not, at the cost of the non-New Zealand registrants in .nz. So they're not in compatible positions.
Well, they may not be, but they may increasingly become so. I can't see anything with the current administration or government departments that would see any change to that. But as David has said, you know, change, governments do change, and it's, you know, the perception of this is where it all started to go wrong, perhaps, was, you know, is it easier to just plead ignorance if the government ever tries to legislate, just move the service offshore and carry on with life, or what? You know, and so I think there's a number of tests there for our own sort of integrity of who we stand for and why, you know, what do we get out of it and what's it going to cost us.
Okay. Right. Yes, okay, I can see three of you over there. I'm going to make a comment of my own first. I'm jumping slightly from the weather to the who does from our end, and I note we already have on our book something called the Internet Governance Tiger Team, which is detailed in the ED's report, that not the one that's in the separate papers, but the one that's in the council paper stack. It's on page number 47. And I wonder whether that is the appropriate area to actually go further into this, if we decide that we are going further into it. I'm just leaving that on the table, and now I'm going to go to Mark, and then Michael, and then Simon.
It's a matter of fact that government already cast huge shadow of the rights of non-New Zealanders. Anyone visiting the country has to obey the laws of the land. Right, so there's no issue there about whether or not someone who's not resident of New Zealand has any, as long as they express an interest in .nz, which is publicly identified as New Zealand's country code, through the ISO process, through ICANN, through all those bits and pieces that, that happen. So you know, that's irrelevant, that's a red herring, I'm afraid.
I don't think so.
The government will do what the government will do, whether we've got a memorandum of understanding or not. If we haven't got a memorandum of understanding, we're lying on our backs with our legs open, as we have, then we can at least cross our ankles. But yeah, governments will do what governments will do. It's a matter of how long you prolong. The delay is between the intent to do something and the actual action. And having some protection is better than having none.
I think you're firmly misunderstanding where I'm trying to go to. Governments have the right to policy. End of story. If the government wants to dictate the way we run .nz, they can do so today. There's no need for an MOU, they can pass a law and require us to do that. And if they do that, they may say that .nz names can only be owned by or registered by New Zealand residents or something like that. That goes without saying. The issue arises that if council embarks on a process to engage with government that leads to government dictating policy, then the reach through from a person who is a registrant in .nz to this council and its membership and its funds is greater because you willingly engaged in a process that led there. If you're the unwilling recipient of law being passed, you're at arm's length from that. You could not have prevented that. Whereas, so it's the willing nature. The interesting people to talk to about this issue is .nu, who very much could be captured by their government in due course, and 95% of their registrants are not in Niue. So, you know, I think, you know, it's an issue that you...
I disagree.
Okay, thanks. Thanks. I've got three on the speaking list, and then I'm going to try to move towards some kind of closure, at least for this session. Okay, so that's Michael, Simon, and David.
Can I also ask that we perhaps slightly change the agenda, because Martin got this here already, so instead of doing my report next, if we do MedSafe and then break for tea or break
yeah,
for tea,
well, that's fine. We'll try to get this item wrapped up in the next 5 to 10.
Okay. My thoughts are, before we rush open with our kimono wide open and what have you, towards the...
Some of this imagery is getting a little...
I would like, before we negotiate with them, to see what their terms of reference with us would look like. Because I reckon that what's happening here is we're developing a whole kind of like terms of reference, what our views of terms of reference, whatever the goals are. No, hold on. This is just, I wouldn't want to get
it. It's a working group.
Let's hear from Mike.
I would like to see, before we commit to the process, what the invitation to treat, so to speak, of having a negotiation with them for an MOU might be, what their expectations would be of it as well. Like, so it sets up the scene for what you're actually negotiating.
So you want to see the outcome of the negotiation before the negotiation?
Well, I'm afraid to a degree, yes, when it gets to these sort of games. I think we're walking in to a situation with, yes, we've got some terms of reference here and background and everything like that, but what I would like to see a situation involved where the government, through this working group or whatever, propose their skeleton as to how that can work and whether we see whether rather than giving a carte blanche, I'm not going to give a carte blanche to just go and negotiate with the government over what we perceive in terms of reference and the scope of this to be. I would like to see that they come to us as well and say, this is how we would like to see it go.
Can I just clarify, the terms of reference are for the working group?
Yep.
Okay. The negotiations part, well, we actually specifically say that you don't enter into an agreement. This is actually saying for the negotiation. We're not saying that Internet is actually blindly sign up to something. Just need to make that point. So it's not actually going that far to saying we're signing on the dotted line. It is just about the process.
Thanks.
In terms of reference to the working group.
Yeah, it does say that. Yeah. Simon.
That's right. I'm a bit like David. I'm sort of struggling to... I can't accept the arguments pro and con, so I'm not neutral, but I see both sides. My way of looking at it was just trying to develop a kind of risk profile and see if there were any answers from that. On the political level, I can't see any risks, and if it ever came down to it becoming a political decision, the MOU wouldn't mean anything. No. But I can't see political issues coming up. At the bureaucratic level, as Frank has pointed out, whether it's this current study that has obviously helped bring this issue to the fore, there's no question that this is, we are part of critical infrastructure. It will continue to be coming under the microscope, as with other bits of critical infrastructure, whether it's energy supply, it will continue to be examined even more closely going forward in the future. And I think we have to remember here, we're not talking about the next 1 or 2 years, but you know, 5 years out, 10 years out, God, you know, trying to think of the environment where this is hypercritical, not just critical.
At what point do you want to negotiate the amount of back pressure?
The whole commerce of this country is going to be dependent on the internet in some form or another.
Yeah.
It already is to some extent. So there will be, your credit, the real challenge, if there will be a challenge to our authority, will come, I think, from a scenario like the Bankers Association getting together with the Reserve Bank and challenging our authority. Will be a direct channel. And how do we manage that risk? How do we manage that? Clearly, when you get those people involved, they will have Cullen, the Prime Minister, on speed dial and say, we don't care what kind of job they've done in the past. We're concerned about, you know, the whole structure. And how do we manage that? And that is probably the answer that I'm trying to get in a decision. Is that whether an MOU with government is going to help that kind of challenge? Do we want government? Government won't take our side on an issue just because we've got an MOU with them. So I must admit, I'm very, very undecided.
We've got others in the speaking order here. I've got David and I've got Michael, and then I'm trying just to move this to a conclusion. Can't say I'm sure what the
responding to Simon and Mark's comments. The first thing is if these people who want changes have the Prime Minister on speed dial, I think your first question will be, do we have a contract with them, tell them to change their policy? That's got to be
Right.
We have no control over them. Their right to run this comes from overseas, but we can legislate to overrule them. You're going to get a very different result. That goes back to what Mark said about the government always gets it right. So they don't. They get it when it's easy. They think when it's hard. Look at back down, smart taxi, there's all sorts there. And what it comes down to is, look, Rail Lock Debbie is domain name commissioner. Whether we have an MOU or not, government influence is going to be, I've got total confidence that we're not going to give in to pressure to judge the content on websites to yank domain names like the banks want us to do. But again, it's looking for the future with different people, different governments. And what I see too, and it may not last, we are going to become hypercritical, we've got a proud success record. My response to the government that wants to legislate, how well do you run your monopolies? Do you get 98% satisfaction ratings from your customers, or is it 20%? I mean, look at et cetera. The ability to get a majority of MPs on side, to get industry worked up, if you really wanted, if there was a government absolutely determined, and we were convinced that the policies they want to bring in would be harmful to the internet, we've got an $8 million slush fund to spend on a campaign why they should nationalise us. And that, is it. So what I'm saying is, I don't agree with Mark, the government always gets you right. We would have to have done something so bad or appallingly bad to make it worth their while to pass legislation that we probably would then deserve to have.
Yes.
So I haven't yet been convinced, I have to say.
Okay, Michael?
I guess one of the reasons why it's such a hard decision for me is that whether or not agreeing to go into the negotiation with the New Zealand government is a winner or a loser depends on what we eventually end up negotiating. I realise from the sense that we can't expect to see the outcome before we go into negotiation. But for me, the formal scope of the agreement that we ended up with would really be the test as to whether this was a winner or a loser. If we ended up with an agreement that ended up promoting awareness of Dolly's policy process in government, and perhaps to an extent guaranteeing or enshrining the rights of registrants, and the right to be already called registrants, i.e. to be consulted in the process of things. If we get a guarantee of those things in the New Zealand government, and we increase the New Zealand government's awareness of those guarantees, and the way that they can engage with the policy development process, that would be thumbs up and winner for me. If the whatever instrument we ended up with became a handle by which the New Zealand government was then able to monitor or influence, or exercise influence over policy and its meetings generally, that would be a loser of the status quo. So, in a way, the actual form of the agreement is kind of the value of what we're going into, and we can't decide that.
We'll get a 10-second
response to that. Well,
yeah,
we're going to go. My start is good.
Yeah.
Like the other thing, US
one.
It's
going
to
change over time.
Well, yeah, I just want to pick up on something that is that the government now do influence policy.
Yep.
In that we specifically go out to key government departments and ask them for their comments when we're doing a policy review. And so the latest one, which is the Registry Management in Kingston, and we got submissions from the New Zealand Bankers Association, the ECC, we're now drafting an additional consultation paper because what they asked for was a huge policy shift whereby we do put restrictions on registrations, we do monitor use, and we do this, that, and the other thing. So they do have an influence now because we actually go out to our policy. They're key organisations. So that's one of the things that we're saying in there is that in that respect, they are involved now and they will continue to be.
The key driver, you're saying, key reason for doing this, it seems to be, is that you want government to acknowledge, recognise, whatever the word is, that they do have that.
We're saying that we're doing it now, and basically, we believe that what we do now fits with, the, as you say, protecting the rights of the registrants, involving key agencies, public and private, and various other such things.
We're not confident government understands that.
Well, no, not parts of it. Doing the biggest problem is that the ones that we consult with can generally give us feedback, but the way they give us some of those submissions indicates they don't fully understand what's actually going on.
All right, thank you. Keith?
That's my concern is that basically it's very obvious that the people who've made those submissions have not, in fact, tried to read our policies.
Yeah.
And I'd like to push them into a process where they are forced to read our policies at least before they start commenting.
Keith's next on the order of things.
I think I raised in the council list that this may have a relationship to the structural review, which is due to report by December. So what I'd like to get a handle on in terms of moving to the conclusion is, I understand the proposal seems to come back in December with some more specifics around the approach to negotiating an agreement. What would be the implication of if we saw the outcomes of our structural review and decided that there was a significant relationship between the structural review options and the negotiation agreement with the New Zealand government, would it be too late to consider the impacts of the relationship on that sort of
thing? Just to answer that one specifically, if you look at the bottom of page 42, there are four points there. Negotiate the instrument, whatever it is, it may not be an MOU, it may be something else. There's the third bullet point. There's first of all a negotiation around agreement in principle, because guarantee that for every argument put up here about Internet New Zealand buying its relationship to government, there will be a minister, and I imagine it would be at ministerial level, arguing, hang on a minute, how much does this tie our hands?
Mm.
How much does this restrict government's options here? Which is the Martin Boyle argument from the UK.
Yeah.
And then a negotiation around the form and nature of the instrument and the process for developing. I mean, even that is an issue which is open at the moment. And certainly that would not, I expect, to be decided anything like before December. It's very unlikely that the government will make up its mind it wanted to enter a negotiation before that middle of next year.
Keith?
I think, just going to the actual resolution proposed here, recommendation one says agree to formalise the relationship with the New Zealand government, which I think we're not quite comfortable with, if I'm reading council's mind correctly or mood correctly on it, and perhaps it might be something that we could just sort of take offline for now,
go through the ED's report, look at the tiger team, the internet governance tiger team, and then come back to these resolutions and see whether we can get a word in that might be to refer these issues forward to the tiger team for more work or some such thing.
I think the move key is to explore what relationship indeed could be.
I think that's right.
I think there's another scenario here that we haven't considered here. We go through a process with all the right intentions, and we agree that we're not to have a relationship.
Well, one of the three is not to be on the other one.
But the way this is worded, it's saying that we are agreeing to formalise the relationship.
Well, one way or another, it does.
I'm happy with Keith's proposal. If others are happy with that, that we put this, we do not deal with this recommendation at this stage in the meeting, that we do discuss it once we've had the ED's report and the Internet Governance Tiger Team's been discussed, and we discuss whether or not we can produce some form of something which perhaps aimed at some of the intent behind this to go to follow on after that. What would you think about that, Frank? Okay, well, in that case, we're going to stop discussion on that at this point, and thank you very much, everybody, but we will pick it up again later this afternoon. Keith?
We've got fresh coffee. Martin Crocker's here. Shall we bring him up for a cup of coffee and then come back for the next item?
Yes, I'm happy with that. That'll be our formal afternoon tea session, though, and we'll try to get it done as fast as reasonably possible. Mm. Is that okay?
It's a crunchy one. Well, I think we should have 5 minutes.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
But I think it's a chance for you to meet him informally, and then we'll come back into the session of this.
Okay, so there's a 5 minute break and a cup of coffee, Frank.
I'm noting that Debbie is probably going to withdraw, and there was a second paper with recommendations, which is the ICANN one.
Yes, okay.
She gets off so easily, doesn't she?
Thanks, Kate.
Doesn't ICANN, yes.
Is there anybody who thinks that anything other than yes for this?
Can I ask a silly question about the ICANN one?
Yeah.
Wouldn't the fact that we've progressed the ICANN agreement give us leverage, should we require it, for any negotiations with New Zealand government? No?
Potentially.
Debbie and I have always disagreed on this. I don't agree, I respect your opinion on that, but I don't think so. I think New Zealand government
brings up ICANN. I mean, I'm not agreeing with either of you, but I think that's a discussion for another meeting, probably. Okay. All we need to do now is say whether or not we're going to go with this ICANN thing, and unless I hear dissent, I just want to put a motion to say do this. Okay.
We haven't discussed this at all. At least just do the EDs one, hope as Debbie round later this afternoon. I mean, no.
So if we're not part of the discussion, how do we actually know what's going on? And that's the key thing, because basically this paper actually puts on to my office. So, I mean, that's I don't care how much time it takes, as long as I get quite clear directions what council actually decides, because otherwise we don't tend to get formal feedback. So
I do think we need to take a break in proceedings and get on with the NetSafe item that's on our agenda for this time, since Martin's come from Auckland to attend to this. So if we have to reconvene after that, so be it.
So we either have discussion, we need to defer it, or we don't have agreement.
Do we have anybody who wants to have discussions on this particular
issue? I think it's worthy of discussion. I don't mean debate to the same degree as the other one. I think that there are some contextual stuff which we just want to go around.
Well, when do you think that's going to happen, David? Because we're
when we come back, I think it will be a logical one to do the moment we've done the government one. So we come back, we deal with the government one, and then we deal with the ICANN.
Well, that's going to be at least half an hour away, because we've got Martin. That's going to happen. Okay.
Debbie could come back.
We shouldn't rush this through because Martin's
here.
I think we need to attend to Martin.
And I was going to see what Keith was saying about the agenda. That's fine. What I'm saying is.
Okay.
Yeah, you need clear. Absolutely. I think that.
Thank you very much, everybody. Can we try to keep this to 5 minutes, please?
Thank you.